Hey, Scruffy, you need a haircut? Got an idea for you. Go to MaryToddHairCo.com, find yourself an appointment, and get yourself a haircut. They also have hot lather shaves and some of the best colorists in the city. Don't believe me? Pick up your iPhone and go, hey, Siri, where can I get the best men's or women's haircut in Atlanta? Guess what? It's going to pop up Mary Todd Hair Co. Also, Mary Todd is a custom line of shampoo, pomades, beard oils, all handmade using the finest ingredients available. Did I say they're produced locally? Well, they are. Check them out at MaryToddHairCo.com/products.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
What's happening, hot stuff?
Your Honor, my clients come from a small town in West Virginia. 2 weeks ago, Mr. Wheeler lost his job when a tornado leveled the diner he washed dishes at.
They found one of the axles and a lamp on top of a laundromat in the next county.
I lost my dog. We had to dig a collar out of a tree.
Sweep the leg. You have a problem with that.
No mercy.
No mercy. On the sand of run. Ah!
Wait!
Shh. Come back tomorrow.
Oh, sexy girlfriend!
Step aside, Mama. I want to see some of that muff.
Hair pie, hair pie.
Judy's a nice name, Gilbert.
Yeah, she's a nice girl.
Big deal. Did you get in her pants?
She's not that kind of a girl, Booger.
Why? Does she have a penis?
You're not gonna fall for the banana in the tailpipe?
It should be more natural, brother. It should flow out like this. Look, man, I ain't falling for no banana in my tailpipe.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr.
Yes.
Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada. Get ready. Prepare for blast off.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth with Tim Andrews, Ira Malk, and Steph Swain, and Jeff Leboff.
Jeff's taking a shit.
Is that what happened?
Must be. Jeff's taking a shit because he's not in the room yet. Stephanie just went to the powder room.
Yes.
Yeah.
To take a powder.
Everything she does in there is dainty.
Yeah, it was. This was.
Yeah.
This was a dainty.
It was a dainty.
It was very delicate.
Squirt right into the bowl.
Tinkle, twinkle.
Tinkle, tinkle, little.
Tainting. Yeah.
Yes.
The TT.
You TT'd. You TT'd. Well, we're starting the show.
Good. Oh, he's going to love that.
Well, tough shit. Is he taking a shit?
I think it is a tough shit. That's what's taking so long.
Jeff doesn't take tough shits. He has loose stool.
Oh.
Sorry, we're starting the show this way. But
maybe he has a squatty potty.
Episode. He does have a squatty potty.
Does he?
It's episode 84. Welcome to episode 84 of Radio Labyrinth, joined by Jeff when he's done shitting. Stephanie?
Hello.
Ira?
Hi.
And we'll talk about what we did last Friday here in a minute. Last Friday, of course, we went over to watch Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
They're set.
Yeah, they're set. It was pretty fucking amazing.
I'm
going to hold on to that.
Yeah, let's hang on to it.
Let's hang on to it. How about that John Ossoff, huh?
Oh, come on.
Did you ever waste $30 million?
Oh, my God. 30.
30 40. Fucking million. No, he spent 30.
Oh, she spent, right. It was almost 50.
It was over 50, yeah. So yeah. This guy, this skinny little 30-year-old, you know, upstart pajama boy, thinks he's going to come into a district in which he does not reside. And try to take away a red seat from the Republicans? I don't think so. There's Jeff.
No, yay, Jeff. Hey, thank you.
Mr.
Save us.
Ossoff.
Well, Mr. Ossoff, what?
What are your plans now that you've
I plan to get really stoned, masturbate to Reddit porn, and you know, binge watch all the stuff on Netflix I haven't been able to see in a while.
Well, you ran a tough fight. I feel like there was a lot of people canvassing for you.
Washington should be accountable to you.
Yeah.
Not Karen Handel in her office chairs. She doesn't support a living wage.
I want to see those freaking chairs.
What chairs?
The chairs.
She's never even
bought.
Seen the fucking
chairs. Golden Thrones.
Yeah. For golden showers. We started the show, by the way. Hi, Jeff.
Are you okay, Jeff?
Nope.
Did you take a dump?
Were you damaged?
Yep.
We said you took a dump.
He's in. He's in, folks.
Is he in?
Do we need to call somebody to clean up?
When you gotta go, you gotta go.
Well, you gotta go. You gotta go.
Just the thing. There you
all
go.
Right. So we are doing episode 84. It is an 84 fucking, wow, that's a lot. And later on in the show, 80 Labyrinth. We're going to talk about 1984. Not the book or the movie. Although they
or
may
the
come
album.
Up.
The Van Halen album.
Van Halen album, of course.
One of the greatest album covers of all time.
Yeah, no shit.
No doubt.
Little Angel.
Mm-hmm.
But first things first. First things first. Have you heard about Burger Box on Radio Labyrinth? You want to try it? Well, you're in luck. Right now, for a limited time only, Burger Box is giving away a $45 trial box so you can try a Burger Box at a discounted price. Now, this deal will not last. It can't. Because they're actually losing money on it. Go to BurgaBox, that's BurgaBox.com/labyrinth, which is spelled LABYRINTH, and order yours today. It is an event on a plate, says Rachel Ray. The Hot Mess, which is the burger that my wife and I shared, really great traditional flavors in a burger that worked very well for me, says Michael Simon, who is a chef and a TV host. And listen, we are giving all radios 1 week to sign up for Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews and sign up to be a Radio Labyrinth.
Any level.
Patreon at any level. That's right. $1, $1.50, 10 cents, a nickel. Just go there and we'll put all the Patreon names in a hat and pick one. Now, I got to tell you this.
Please.
If you're already a Patreon, a Radio Labyrinth patron, you're already entered.
Oh, my God.
Sweet.
But wait, you don't feel like spending any money, even though this defeats the purpose? I'm going to make it hard on you. You need to go to iTunes or someplace and leave us a review.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Leave us a review.
Good thinking.
And if it's new, within the next week, you'll also be thrown into the hat. How's that sound, Jeff?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
And will you read the review?
I will read the review.
We'll rate the reviews.
In a voice of their choosing?
Yeah, there you go. Reset it for us, Stephanie. All right, we got some more business to take care of before we get to this stuff.
I missed
stuff
the song, the rate, the review.
But yeah, we're gonna enter the Patreon's names in a hat.
Yes,
and then we'll enter anybody that writes a review
And read them.
And yeah, we'll rate your reviews.
Cool.
And somebody will win a burger box.
Shit, I'm gonna be a patron.
Yeah.
And write a review, patron. I'm gonna be a patron.
You know, and the people that we have, like our radios that have already got their burger boxes.
Yes.
Like Wendy Joe and Colin Ray. They posted their pictures of their stuff. They were very happy with them.
Yeah.
And they raved about how awesome the burgers
and
were.
They tagged
so
us,
so it's not just us. It's not just us saying, oh, they're so good because we want a sponsor.
Right.
I mean, this is legit. We've got people verifying that the shit is good.
Now remember, absolutely, it's Burger Box. No R in there.
Yeah. Not Burger Box.
Right. Or right. Burger. That would be an entirely different kind of
thing. It's the same outfit every month.
Oh, this is wonderful.
Send it back when you're finished. Speaking of food, we had Ron Eister on a couple weeks ago. He was the angry chef. He was on, what, one episode of that show before he got kicked off? What was it?
Top Chef.
But he's a very good guy, and he set us up with the Mother Clucker Festival. He's doing another festival. If you remember from the show, he was getting into doing festivals. So his new event is called Smoke a Peach. It is the Smoke a Peach Festival. Where is it? It's at Smoke Ring, which is located in Castleberry Hill.
Oh, I know where that is.
Downtown.
Great place.
Yeah. Castleberry Hill is a really cool little neighborhood when it's light out. This Sunday, June 25th, from 2 to 6 p.m. If you're listening to this Sunday at 7 o'clock, you're fucked. But if you're listening to it Sunday morning, June 25th, you can go, 2 to 6 p.m. Where to get tickets, just go online. Let's see. It's, oh, my God, this is a real long thing. We'll post a link to it later. It's culinarylocal.com/event/smokeapeach, blah, blah, blah. I mean, it's a real long URL, so we'll tweet it. You'll see this probably before you hear it. But anyway, that's what you can do to get tickets. Event highlights. Smoke Ring Barbecue is hosting their first ever Smoke a Peach Fest along with Ron Eister of I Dig Foods. Chefs will be accompanied by Chef Jeffrey Gardner, formerly of Common Quarter. The three chefs will present an epic day of glorious smoked meats, traditional southern sides, and of course, Georgia peaches. Guests will be treated to a day of Georgia peach-inspired dishes along with a vast array of cocktails, beer, and live music. Music will be provided by All-Star Brothers and Sisters Band. I'm going to read that properly. The All-Stars Brothers and Sisters Band. A portion of the proceeds from the event will benefit the local Atlanta charity Songs for Kids. So I support them. You guys should too. Food and drink highlights. The festival will feature a selection of meats from Georgia's own Hunter cattle, and the peaches will be provided by Pearson Farm. Now listen, peaches are, you know, hard to come by this spring because of the spring. I heard that on the news.
It was a bad spring for peaches.
Food specials include smoked brisket with peach barbecue sauce, Vidalia onion sausage dogs with peach mustard and more. All drink specials will be peach-inspired, like peach margarita snow cones.
Oh my, that sounds good.
A farmer's market will be on site as well, so local vendors like Fickle's Pickles from Athens can sell their goods. So again, it is the Smoke a Peach Festival at Smoke Ring, located in Castleberry Hill. And again, check the link that we tweeted out or will tweet out or whatever. I can't go because Shani B and I will be doing a live show on WSB from 1 to 3.
Good for
congrats.
You.
This Sunday, yes.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
So don't listen to Tim. Just go to the peach.
Well, you can,
on the way there.
Yeah.
You could download the WSB app.
Bring your Walkman.
Yeah, your Walkman.
Well, you're going to have a podcast, too. So like, even if for some reason that you missed it, you can listen to the podcast, right?
Sure.
Sure, right.
And by the way, though, the band that's playing at that, isn't that an Allman Brothers tribute band?
Sounds it, because it's a, yes, it's
yeah.
Allman Brothers tribute.
So record. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. So y'all should check that shit out.
I'm going to go.
That's what I say.
Well, Eister, the chicken event that he put on was badass. So if that's any indication, that was very cool.
Steph and I are going to go down there and drink peach everything.
Peach snaps.
Yeah.
If you guys are going, I'll probably go.
Bro. Oh, look at this. Now, this is a party. Now.
You guys let me know. I'll let Ron know, okay?
I'm still riding.
I'll see what Ron
says. No, we're buying tickets.
I'm on the fence.
You don't have to buy tickets. He already told you guys can go. What? What are you talking? Why are you... What, are you trying to scam money?
No.
Ron will hook you guys up if you want to go. Not all of you, just the three people in here.
Okay.
All right, so where do we begin? Where do we begin? What did we do last Friday? Let's recap
let's do that
shit.
Yeah.
Don't bury the lead here.
Jeff Leboff here is the master producer who set up this wonderful event, wonderful little meet and greet action for us.
He's been working on it for a while.
So why don't you tell us what we did?
Well, we had Casper Kelly on the podcast a while back, and I've kept in touch with him.
And who is Casper Kelly?
He's the creator of, one of the creators of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Okay.
And Too Many Cooks.
And Adult Swim.
Yeah, Adult Swim.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kept in touch with him, and he said, you know, when we start shooting Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell season 4, you guys should come to the set.
And we said, yes, we should.
I said, hell yeah. I didn't know if that was just like a polite thing that he said because we had him on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of kept, you know, I said, hey, we're all still interested if you want to have us. And
yeah.
And he was like, oh, shit.
No,
I told these guys they could come. Now I got to work it out.
It was like, you know, when somebody's family member dies, you go, let me know if I can do anything to help. And then they actually ask you to do something to help. Anyway, go ahead.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about.
So I kept in touch with him, and then he put us in touch with... I don't know what that guy's title was. Roger Black. Yeah, I remember his name, but I don't know what he was as far as maybe just like.
I think he's a producer at Adult Swim.
Assistant director or something.
Or a director, yeah.
Yeah.
Dave's the director, Dave Willis.
Yeah.
Right. And Casper said he was directing later that day that we were there.
Yeah.
But while we were there, we saw Dave Willis directing a scene.
It's just great watching him work like
that. Uh-huh. It was that same scene over and over and over.
I know,
over.
But it kept getting better, right?
It was, yeah.
Doing a lot of improv.
Yeah, it was very hilarious. It was funny, like, every time they did it, and then you'd think, okay, well, that's it, and Dave's like, no, do it again.
Do it away.
Now do it this way. Now do it that way.
I mean, I've been on sets a bunch of times in the past, and that was the first time I've ever been on set but just been cracking up.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was watching them perform.
Yeah.
Right.
And it was almost like watching a stage show because they were improvising. I was dying laughing.
I think that's the first time I've ever been on a set where they were recording an actual TV show. I don't think I've ever.
That's the first time I've ever been on a set.
Who all was there? Matt Servito.
Matt Servito, who plays Satan.
Yeah.
Wasn't he like the nicest
dude? He was nice.
Ever.
He was in the makeup chair when we walked in the
right
door.
When we walked in the door. Yeah. He's like, yeah, come on in.
Yeah, the guy, what's the guy's name doing the makeup?
Shane Morton.
Yeah. Really good stuff. I mean, this place is decked out. If you watch the show, the place is decked out just as you would imagine it would be. But Matt was the first guy we saw, Matt Servito. and we're talking to him. And I don't normally get starstruck, but sometimes I do. And he's a Sopranos guy, and yeah, that's one of my favorite shows of all time. So I kind of nerd out, and I go, I just want to call you Agent Harris. And he laughed, and he goes, you know, last week was the 10th anniversary of the finale.
Is that what he was talking about? I don't know why.
I think he was talking about the anniversary of them when they killed Adriana.
No, he said the 10th anniversary of the finale.
10th anniversary
that's,
of the finale.
That was 10 years ago?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, I was working at 99X. I remember everybody getting all upset except me. I'm like, hey, it ended like it started. Right. Mm-hmm. Pick up, and okay, it's done. But he was also in the show Brotherhood on Showtime. He's also on Billions. He's also been in Banshee. A lot of different things.
Yeah, he's been on a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's a great character.
Yeah, I like that when Jeff asked him about his mom watching Banshee because there was so much nudity.
Yeah.
And she said she watched every episode. And then I asked him, I said, well, does your mom watch Your Pretty Face? He said, she watched the first episode and then she hasn't watched one since. Doesn't even pretend. Doesn't even pretend.
So season four, there's no date. It was like a soft, what do they call that? It was a, they just kind of did a soft re-upping or whatever the show. So we don't know when it's coming out. I've tried to find out.
They said it's 2018 probably.
2018. All right. So everything will be in the can. Who else did we meet? Henry was there.
Yeah, Henry Zabrowski.
From last podcast on the left, among other things.
Yeah, and Craig Rowan.
Craig Rowan.
Yep.
Eddie Pepitone.
He was nice, huh?
Yeah.
Super nice guy.
How about that Tokarski guy? What's his name?
William Tokarski.
Yeah.
Too Many Cooks guy.
Yeah.
The killer from Too Many Cooks.
He was so nice.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, he's a really nice guy.
Yeah.
He's your cover photo right now, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. However, maybe they thought that we were...
Yeah, maybe they thought
different people because everybody was very nice to us. They were like, "Hey, come on in."
I don't know why they wouldn't be nice to us.
And Dave was awesome.
Dave was awesome. I talked to him for quite a while. Yeah, I always get intimidated around. I mean, because those guys do things.
Yeah,
you're intimidated. Oh my god,
that I wish I could. I know, but
I can't even talk.
I shouldn't because I've done work for them and I've met him so many times, but I still nerd out. I mean, he's a funny mother effer.
Yeah,
Dave's awesome.
And I just love his delivery. And now when I watch, I record episodes of Aqua Teen and just rewatch them all the time. And I watch the what was it? It was the Hair System. What's that comedian's name? Why can't I think? I just watched it.
The Hair System?
Do you know the one where Carl gets the medal on his head? Who's the actor?
I don't remember.
Come on. The guy from the Clumps. The guy from the Nutty Professor. Larry Miller. Larry Miller hair restoration. And you know, it's all about Carl, and Carl's looking in this magic box, and he sees what his life would be like if he had had hair, and he just fucks that guy's life up.
Oh, yeah.
No, you gotta tell her. Tell her to sit and spin. But it's just great, so.
Well, and Dave was so busy directing and doing everything on the set, but he still kept coming over to us.
Yeah.
And mostly you, Tim, and just like, so what's going on? You know, just talking about whatever.
He said something funny to me about my Twitter feed. He goes, I look at your Twitter feed, and sometimes it's conservative, sometimes it's liberal. And I started thinking about I sound like a douche on Twitter a lot of times.
I think everybody sounds like a douche on Twitter sometimes,
person,
so I wouldn't worry
and
about that.
On the radio and on the podcast.
Huh?
You sound like a douche in person.
Oh, get out of here.
And on the podcast.
I don't need that kind of shit. So thank you to those guys. Anything else we failed to cover?
No.
It was the thrill. It was
absolute
thrill.
I just see that makeup work.
Huh?
Yeah, we were there for like an hour, over an hour.
Yeah, about 2 hours almost. Well, an hour and a half.
They told us we could have probably stayed all day if we wanted to.
Yeah, Casper said we could have dinner there if we wanted to. But
really?
Yeah.
When they had all the scenes. You know,
let's not spoil anything.
No, not that. I'm saying all the interior scenes where they
Yeah.
And, you know, so he took us around the whole...
The cubicles.
We saw the cubicles and the computer.
Yeah.
Mm. There's like a shower. There's the shower.
And the blue screen. I thought it was green screen, but now it's blue screens, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like that whole big part of the studio was just blue. There was like a big blue wall and blue curtain and the floor was blue.
That's cool. Lady that I follow on Instagram had a picture of John Amos that she rode on a plane with him.
I've seen a couple of pictures of him in the helmet. Eddie Pepitone posted a couple.
Yeah.
And I saw a picture of John, of George Wynn also.
Oh, really?
If we could have gone back.
Yeah.
I'd love to meet John Amos.
I saw Dana getting red yesterday.
Yeah, Dana posted he was getting red.
So Dana wasn't there.
No, Dana was the only person that wasn't there.
Right. So again, thanks to Adult Swim. Thank you to
Roger Black and Casper Kelly.
Casper and Dave, everybody.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
And that lady that I saw who gets her hair done at
Mary And if you Todd. Haven't seen our pictures from the set, go to Radio Labyrinth Facebook page.
That's right. It. You can see a picture of Stephanie.
Good.
Good.
Mayhap, that's Stephanie. Somebody asked if that was Stephanie. I said, mayhap. And they were like, what?
What is that? What does that mean? What
just
is it?
Like maybe. Maybe.
Oh, mayhap.
Mayhap. Oh, all right. So, mayhap. You guys watched last week's Fargo?
Yes.
How many more episodes do
well,
we have?
Well, the finale's tonight.
Last one's tonight. I guess it's I'll watch it when I get home.
It's so long now. Now I can't remember what the fuck happened. When,
well, I mean, it started out with the fake serial killer, Stussies.
Yeah,
you know, they
no
were,
shit.
They pretend.
Right.
They were trying to make it like he was a serial killer. Yeah. So they jabbed the one, Momo, whatever the hell his name is, jabbed the one in the neck with the glass.
Right.
And then the other one, he sealed the nose and the lips together like Ennis, her old stepdad.
Now, this is. Did we figure out how much time has passed?
I mean, it's been a few months. Because it's like spring, because you remember the sprinklers were coming on.
Right. At that Stussy guy's house.
Yeah, at the Stussy guy's house.
In the lake.
In the lake. And what have you.
So that was going on, and then, you know, Emmett was in there confessing.
Yeah.
But it didn't matter because, you know, the chief, he doesn't give a shit. He wants this nice little neat package because they set
it up. He's a fuckstick.
He is, and they set it up.
I can see why he got fired from the board, from the Atlantic City police.
Yeah, you're terrible. I don't care who your brother is. If you're not a good cop.
Because they set it up like it was this other guy who wanted to go back to jail. Like he had killed the guy.
He's such a douche. Both of those guys. Like, I solved it. I solved it.
Yeah. I solved it. Yeah, I did. My lips are pursed a little bit. I solved it. You know, you shut up.
You kind of have a Gary Sinise thing going.
Gary
but the best scene was in the hotel lobby with the chick and the dude.
That was good. But prior to that, whenever she rolled up on the set in that truck and threw that paperweight grenade in there, that was awesome.
That was killer.
That was great. Just the whole. I would love to see Nikki and Mr. Wrench have their own spinoff.
If they
could have
it.
Their own show.
So what's going to happen next week, do you guys think?
What's tonight, actually?
Or tonight, yeah.
Well, they ended with the accountant getting the books.
Right.
And who gave it to him? Was it Nikki and Mr. Wrench, or did Emmett do it?
Emmett.
You think Emmett did
it? I think Emmett did it.
I would think so, too. Just because it would be too easy for it to be Nikki and...
I mean, Nikki has her shit together.
And she was still trying to get the money, though, I think. So why would she give it to him? Because she was still trying to get the cash at that point.
I still want to know what the beginning of the series... What happened? Why they were showing the East German Stasi.
Right.
What that has to do with the whole...
Well, it linked into, what's his name? Yuri, somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it had something to do with
as
Yuri.
As a turn, you know, so Steph turned me on to the Odd G's podcast.
Odd G's, yeah.
Have you guys heard about this?
No.
There's a Fargo podcast called Odd G's, and it's great. And Steph turned me on to it, and I'm addicted. Now I'm like, I'm watching the show, and I'm like, oh, I can't wait till they have the fuck.
It's Minnesota Public Radio, NPR.
Oh, God.
NPR.
Oh,
geez.
Oh,
yeah. But they do explain a lot of things that I kind of didn't put together.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh.
They're great.
So what did they say about that?
They said that there was a crime at the beginning. They were falsely accusing that guy of killing somebody?
His wife.
Yes.
And he said, I didn't kill my wife. And they said, well, the state says you did. Are you saying that the state is wrong, which is a crime?
Right. And then in the bowling alley last week, didn't they clarify that Yuri was the guy that killed that person?
Well, no. Yuri's ancestors were
killed,
Cossacks.
Killed all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There was some connection there.
They were tying it back.
By the way,
like
you
that.
Think Hitler's bad, which he was. The Russians were fucking assholes, the Jews.
Yeah.
I've been reading a lot lately about that and how horrible they were.
Jews haven't had it easy.
No, they haven't.
Even after the war ended, we couldn't go anywhere.
I'm just saying.
We had to go to Brooklyn. And
what's wrong with that? Too many hipsters now.
Be careful what you say about
we had
Russia,
to make pastrami.
Though.
Why?
You don't want to have somebody walk up to you at the airport and blow something in your face and all of a sudden you're dead.
Oh, wow. Serpent in the Rainbow style?
Yeah.
No, that's how Putin kills people.
Yeah.
Really?
Speaking of Putin, I've been watching that documentary series.
Yeah, I was going to watch it.
Oh, the one that he's been taking so much shit about?
He's 1,000 times smarter than our president. That's all I'll say about that.
You might want to.
Maybe you sit down with him. Oliver Stone spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours over the course of 4 or 5 years doing these interviews. There were 3 or 4 years. You can't speak to Donald Trump for more than 20 minutes because you're going to get the same answer. This is great.
Right.
Oh, he's wonderful. It's great. I mean, no,
he's a leaker.
Yeah, he's just adjectives, man.
Do you think Stone deserves the criticisms he's been getting about softballing the whole thing?
No.
Is he softballing the whole
thing?
He's
not. I've been watching it. Softball. I mean, he asks some questions about assassinations and stuff. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Now, who's smarter, Oliver Stone or Megyn Kelly?
Oliver Stone. Megyn Kelly's an empty suit.
I'm kidding. Come on.
She's a Barbie doll, and NBC made a huge mistake, million dollar mistake, which they always do in networks.
I mean, she's hot, but she's not that hot.
It doesn't matter. They thought, oh, we're going to get this conservative from Fox or this moderate from Fox. She sucks. She gave me the Alex Jones interview that got beat by a repeat of 60 Minutes.
Oh, wow.
And every other network was airing, she sucks.
Yeah.
She's not.
I haven't watched any of that.
Well, I think a lot of people just don't want to watch him, too. So that, too. That, too.
The ratings for Putin weren't that good, and he destroyed her.
How do they handle it? You got to read subtitles?
For who? Putin?
For Putin?
Yes,
or do they have translators?
He doesn't speak English.
I thought he speaks English when he feels like it.
He doesn't speak it fluently.
If I wanted to read, I'd get a damn book. I watch TV.
Well, then he's not
TV.
That smart, Tim.
Well, it's a documentary.
How is he that smart? If he was that smart, he'd speak English.
Can you get
fluently.
Up and read in phonetic Russian?
I can't,
a
but I'm not.
Speech?
I can't, but
no,
I'm
they
not.
Have somebody
I'm not
translating for him.
Yeah, but I'm not the president of Russia. I'm not a genius. If I was a genius and I was the president of Russia, I think I would speak English.
No,
that's all I'm saying.
What do you think? Every world leader should speak English?
I'm going to turn it on. I'm going to turn it on Spanish audio.
I think he should. I don't know.
Why should he?
Just because English is the most known language.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think he should speak English.
All right, you want to hear what he sounds like speaking English?
I have heard him speak English.
Minister, the former KGB spy, now increasingly at odds with Washington. As we toured his official residence near the Black Sea, there was a rare exchange in English.
Do you think that this is a turning point in relations between Russia and the West? Do you think that period of post-war calm has come to an end?
I think no. I hope no.
So of course he speaks English.
Cooperation
in
deeper voice.
He does when he's
I
ain't killed nobody.
Nobody.
No hacking. No hacking.
Hey guys, I'm Carly.
Hi guys, I'm the bitch from Wix.
I created my own website with
Wix. I carry
clothes.
Oh, you dumb cunt.
Что мы сделали? Мы не воевали.
It's very
harsh. Не оккупировали никого. Нигде не стреляли. Ни один человек не...
I am not your friend.
That English backwards.
I am the president of Russia. Я не понимаю. All right, we're getting off the rails here. American Gods.
Yeah.
What a finale, huh?
Yeah. So good.
Jeff, I have a question for you.
Tons of Jesuses.
Yeah, I know. I like that.
Oh, but we kick out the... Kick in the... Go ahead. Ask the question. I'm sorry.
I want to know, would you still fuck her?
Bilquis?
Kristen Chenoweth?
Well, what happened to her?
Yeah, she looked okay.
She's got flies buzzing around her.
Yeah, that's all right.
No, not Kristen Chenoweth. The other one.
Oh, the dead wife?
Yeah,
dead she wife. She doesn't look good without the red hair. I liked her when she had the red hair.
Kristen Chenoweth is on the show.
Yes.
Yeah,
everybody's on the show.
Fantastic.
Yeah, she just showed up. She plays Easter.
Mm.
But they start out with the big orgy.
Yeah, the big bloody orgy.
But they all turned to black liquid.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when she was the Queen of Sheba.
Right.
That's when she had her most power.
Right.
But we get Mr. Nancy back in this episode, which I was so happy to see Orlando back.
I know. He was fucking amazing.
He was so good. And he's making him those kick-ass suits so they could come in styling and profiling at the Easter thing. So that was really cool. And then they did. They looked very sharp. And then he's telling them the whole
Spoilers.
Story while he's making them the suits. Yeah. Well, sorry.
Spoiler
guys.
Alert. Sorry.
Sorry, guys. But yeah. I just loved him telling the story of Bilquis or whatever. And so we get to hear her whole thing and how she was like at the height of her power and then how she slowly over the years, you know, like up into the disco thing when they were in Tehran.
Yeah.
And then that whole, which I didn't realize that.
Didn't realize what?
I didn't realize that before the 70s, whenever all that happened.
Before 1979.
That it was real kind of free over there.
It was very westernized.
I didn't realize that.
Well, the Shah, if you had money and if you were middle class or above and of a certain stature in Iran, you lived that kind of lifestyle. If most poor people and most people in the country were the way you perceive Iran to be now. But it was voluntary and you didn't have to do it.
Hmm.
But then a lot of women sided with the revolutionaries, and then as soon as they started putting Sharia law in place as far as wearing, covering their heads and things, women started protesting.
Oh.
And when the women that supported them started coming out and protesting, they said, ah, just wear a scarf. They don't have to cover head to toe in Iran. But Iran was a pretty free society, especially in Tehran and the major cities.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
I'm learning stuff from American Gods. It's pretty sad that I didn't know that. But yeah.
Go ahead.
But no, I was just going to say, I thought that was great how it showed her. And then when she came to America and then like all the people that she's banging in America, then they start dying of AIDS. And then you just start seeing her kind of fall apart. And the next thing you know, she's kind of homeless and all jacked up.
Right.
Roaming the streets and shit.
And then she's saved by Tinder.
But it's called Sheba.
Yeah, Sheba.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the technical boy or whatever. Mm-hmm. He's like, let me offer you a new platform. Because she sees ISIS. She sees ISIS on the TV through the screen destroying her old...
Monuments.
Temples. The old temples where people used to come and worship her.
Uh-huh.
So he gives her a new temple, which is Tinder, which is...
Sheba.
That was really cool.
I liked all the Jesuses because they represented a Jesus from every denomination.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah. That was great.
That's why I dig this show so much.
Even before they get there, though, Mr. Wednesday, when he ran over all the rabbits.
Uh-huh. You mean, I am Odin!
That was great.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking, though? Odin doesn't control the weather. His son does. So who sent the lightning down? Would have had to have been Thor.
True.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Bet you they can't show Thor. But Thor's a god, so I guess you can get around it.
That's true. That's true. I liked how
he's public domain.
I liked how they had the fact that Jesus jacked Easter.
Yeah.
He just totally jacked it from her.
St. Nicholas took the deal. That was awesome, too.
Or whenever she was going to bring old girl back from the dead.
Yeah.
She puts a little butterfly on her, and she's going to do it. And then she realizes, oh, no, you were killed by a god, so I can't do that. And then you find out that...
She can't or won't?
She can't. She can't bring her back.
So Mr. Wednesday had her killed.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he have her killed? Because he needed Shadow, but we don't know why he needed Shadow.
Shadow's got powers that we haven't seen
Shadow
yet.
Must be a god or something.
Yeah, something like
that. Or be the kid of a god.
I assume so. I mean, you guys have read the book, right?
I haven't read the book.
Oh.
I read the book.
You've read all of them?
There's only one.
Oh, I thought there was more than one.
No,
yes,
epic,
he read all of them.
So it's big. So there's another. There's more coming.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the Jesuses were not in the book, right?
There's like maybe one Jesus mentioned in the book, I think.
And then they put a bunch of Jesuses in it just because that was an idea that they had for the show.
Right.
All right. So, guys, if you haven't watched American Gods.
Listening to the play-by-play of this show without watching it,
it sounds
is
crazy.
The most fucked up thing ever.
It is a fucked up show, but it is enjoyable.
Yeah.
And the acting's good. The special effects are good. It's a good show. If you're into any kind of weird shit like that, just watch it.
And our Jesus was Dickie from Justified.
I know.
Yeah. Which I loved.
Yep.
Oh, and in the end, we got to see Crispin Glover again.
Yeah, very briefly.
And Gillian Anderson as Judy Garland this
time. I know.
Which
it's
was great.
She's a god of, what, TV? She's the god of media.
Yeah.
So check out American Gods. It is on Stars. Or download the torrent. I don't care. Just watch
That's why I can't watch it.
All right, we talked about the Putin interview. Also, what other things? I watched that first episode of Blood Drive, and I set it to record on the DVR. Love that fucking show.
Isn't it,
that was awesome.
It's so psycho.
I know. I loved it. Yeah. I expected nothing.
Did you like that never-ending Gobstopper lollipop that she had?
Give her my gob.
Yes, we did.
Hot. Both of them are easy on the eyes. The lead female and the guy. So yeah,
he's not the guy from Leftovers. Though.
It's not that guy.
It looks like him,
but it's
not.
I'm pretty sure that's the guy.
Which guy?
He's the son
from the Leftovers. He's
just
kind of
looks like
son?
Him, but I don't think it's him.
Hmm. Well, we'll find out.
Let's see.
Too bad we don't have a computer.
Oh, my God. With the two of them banging, they had to bang, and they tied the steering wheel.
Yep.
It was so ridiculous. But the cheerleaders, I loved
that part.
The
car runs on blood. Why can't it drive itself for a little while while they fuck?
Yeah.
It's just so gory. How are they getting away with this?
It's on sci-fi. Cable.
They said fuck a bunch of times.
Still, though, that many times they say fuck, and then all the gore.
Yep.
I mean, I'm watching
like
it on the app,
HBO
but what,
worthy.
What time is it on for real on sci-fi?
10 o'clock?
I don't know what day. It's tonight, right?
So it comes on at like 10 o'clock.
Wednesday's at 10 o'clock on
sci-fi. So is this
sci-fi.
The second episode tonight?
Yes.
But the gore and the sex, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's awesome.
You got to show up with the bag of the teeth to show that you did a good day's work as a cop.
Yeah, if you're a cop, you do have to. Okay, yeah, that guy is. I think that's the guy from.
It's not the dude from The Leftovers.
It's not.
It's a dude that played Aquaman on Smallville.
Ira. Good job, Ira.
Yeah, good call, Ira.
I never watched Smallville.
I have good face recognition.
It does look like him.
Skills.
Wasn't Smallville emo Superman?
Yeah.
It was. Yeah, okay. It was. But yeah, watch Blood Drive, guys, if you like disgusting, gross, fun nonsense.
I'm watching... go ahead.
I was just going to say that the sci-fi app, like on Xbox One or whatever, just... You don't need cable to watch it. It just came up no problem for free on the app.
So nice.
At least the first episode did.
Let's see. I'm watching I'm Dying Up Here because my wife got into that show.
Are you caught up?
I guess.
I haven't watched this week.
The last
yet.
Episode was good.
What was the last episode about? You don't even
what's
remember.
His, well, no. What's his name? The long-haired guy who was the kid.
Gets his hair cut at the
end. But there's that whole speech from the, you know, the I say black kid? Yeah. Well, he's the only one on the show.
Yeah.
In the middle when they're in the diner and they're like at the kids' table.
Yep.
You know, and what's his name? Al Madrigal.
Yes.
Basically give him a fuck you, but he kind of gets the respect. But that whole speech was phenomenal.
Has W. Earl Brown been on there yet?
Yes.
He was on last week's.
Yeah, okay. I wanted to point that out.
Yep.
And I recognized him right away, you know?
So that is an interesting. Are you watching it, Steph?
I've only seen the first episode.
It's a good show. It bothers me in a way that we don't know who they're supposed to be, even though they're not really supposed to be people, but they are kind of supposed to be people.
Right.
But I really love the what's her name, Mitzi?
Yeah.
Melissa Leo.
Melissa Leo's always good in everything.
Yeah. So
that one episode she did with Louis.
Yeah.
Whenever she made him give her head and she gave him head, that was one of the best episodes of Louis ever.
And is it Judy Gold who was on last week?
That's
the older Judy Gold, right?
Yep.
And then there was one more thing I wanted to say.
Next week, Richard Pryor is going to be on it.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Somebody playing Richard Pryor.
Oh, okay.
A young Richard Pryor.
Like a hologram situation.
So Pauly Shore was on Corolla this week.
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, and what did he have to say about it?
Well, so Adam was drilling him about it. He's like, of course he was like, that's not really. Pauly was trying to say, that's not really my mom, and that's not really blah, blah, blah. And Adam was like, well, everybody's saying it's kind of based around me. He's like, yeah, I guess it is, but he wasn't really getting into it. But
He wouldn't talk about it?
He wouldn't talk about it too much. So I guess the book was written by Jim Carrey? Or optioned by? No, Jim Carrey executive producer.
Right, he's executive
so he producer. Took the book, and he bought the rights to the book.
And the book is actually factual or
right,
like.
Right, and it names people. Like,
oh, okay.
What's going on with the family of his ex girlfriend? They're suing him?
I don't know anything about
that.
Yeah, his ex girlfriend that killed herself, they're suing him, saying that it's his fault that she killed herself.
Why did Jim Carrey text her and tell her to do it like that high school girl?
No, I mean, it's just.
Get back in the car.
They're just money grubbing, sounds like.
So that main guy with the beard is based on Jim Carrey. But what Pauly was saying was Jim Carrey wasn't there till the early 80s.
Right.
And this is all 70s stuff, so it's kind of mixing times.
Yeah, he really wasn't around until the early. I remember seeing him do stand-up on TV.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And then he did a show where he was...
That Duck Soup.
Duck Soup, yeah.
I love
Duck Soup. Oh, my God.
It.
Oh, wow. Was that on the Ha Channel?
No, it was on NBC.
It was before Living Color, right?
Yeah, way before.
In Living Color.
Because then he did that awful vampire movie with Grace Jones.
I don't remember that.
No, that is not Once Bitten, and it was not awful. I love that movie. You
like
shut your mouth.
Okay,
I've seen it a hundred million times.
It was Jim Carrey.
That is not an awful movie.
All right.
And it wasn't Grace Jones.
Yes, it was.
It was not.
It was Grace Slick.
It wasn't Grace Slick either.
Who was it then?
It was Lauren Hutton.
No, what's the vampire movie with the black chick? Grace Jones. Look it up, Jeff. Grace Jones.
You're thinking of Vamp.
The Run with Roger.
You're
thinking of
you
Vamp,
are,
and
you're
that was
right.
Robert Russler.
You're right. Oh. You're right. You're right. I'm sorry. Lauren Hutton.
Okay.
Was hot.
About Love at First
Vamp
Bite.
Vamp was horrible.
I do remember Love at First
Once
Bite.
Once Bitten was good.
I love that.
All right, get off my back.
It is Lauren Hutton in Once Bitten.
Who's the chick in Love at First Bite?
And that gap between her teeth. Lauren Hutton.
I like Lauren Hutton.
Shelley Hack. Remember her?
Shelley Hack.
From The Sopranos. Paulie. Shelley Hack. Remember her? All right, you guys can talk about Better Call Saul.
St. James was the chick in Love at First Bite.
What, who was it?
Susan St. James.
Oh.
Y'all fuckers can talk about Better Call Saul.
Okay.
All right.
It was such a great finale.
I was just telling Steph.
Spoiler alert.
I didn't realize that it was the finale when I was watching it, and I was going, this is a pretty epic episode. Jeez, how are they going to top this? And I said, oh, well, that's it.
It really was.
Salamanca had his incident.
Yeah, but they don't really show what's going to happen to him. He's just
being
pulled away.
Well, you know what happens to him.
Well, I mean, just well, the starting out part of it, though, whenever Chuck is sitting there in the law office and, you know, he thinks he's got everything going his way and then kicks him out and come to find out, Howard's like, no, fuck you. Yeah. I'm paying you off and I'm going to give you the money out of my own pocket.
Oh, shit.
And like Howard was crying almost like it really broke his heart that Chuck did him like that. And then for to drag Chuck out in front of everybody and say, like, Chuck's retiring.
That was awkward.
Oh, God, it was so awkward in the way he left.
It's like, do you want to feel bad for Chuck or do you not?
That's how you always feel about Chuck.
He's a prick. Though, that applause was for Michael McKean, not for Chuck.
Oh, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. And then whenever, you know, but I was so glad that Jimmy finally had a crisis of conscience about what he was doing to that old lady, because that really killed me how bad he was, what he did to her. So anyway,
I felt so bad for
that old broad had it coming.
It was horrible. Yeah. It was so horrible what he did to her. But
he did that on purpose, right? Leaving the microphone on.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah.
That was his idea
to save everybody.
He just went ahead and decided, you know, he's going to get the Sandpiper money eventually. So he was just like, screw it. I'll wait my time out and let him to go ahead and wait for the settlement for however long it's going to take.
Well, now that they closed the law office, he doesn't need all that money anymore.
Right. And then, you know, Kim's taking her little break or whatever.
I'm not buying that whole thing, though.
What?
She just seems... she had a bad accident and she was running herself ragged, but I don't know. I just don't see her backing away from
I think she realized
like
she could have killed somebody and that's why she needed to...
Yeah.
Yeah. I do, too.
So she could just say, you know what? I should get some more sleep instead of, you know, instead of just shutting down the whole business and...
But the end part of it, though, whenever Salamanca, whenever he finally did have his final whatever, because I guess what he had been giving him those
like
fake pills all week, and
he
finally had that stroke. So now we're going to find out how Hector became a mute and he's all mangled or whatever. But Gus saved him.
Yeah.
Gus Fring.
That was weird.
Yeah. He saved him, though, because he...
That's my only contribution. Gus Fring.
But he saved him for himself.
Why?
Because those other guys were there. Why? And I think in his mind, he was saving him for his own, you know, to make himself look good, not realizing in a few years that fucking Hector was going to kill his ass. He has no idea at that point.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Breaking Bad, if you never saw it, he's going to die
by
Hector's hand at some point.
Yeah.
But anyway, but somebody else pointed out online, though, if you think about it, Hector and his whole thing, is kind of parallel to Chuck, what he was going through.
Right.
They both had built their shit from the ground up, and it was getting taken away from him. So I thought that was, of course, genius Gilligan.
He goes into his dad's shop, and his dad's basically like, hey, fuck you, get out of my shop. It's like, whoa.
His dad was awesome.
Just don't say that, please.
I know, but then...
you don't want his dad to get killed.
Yeah,
you know?
And his dad was like, get the fuck out of here. But the end, of course, with Michael McKean having that huge relapse.
He had a breakdown. I don't know. It was a relapse because I don't think his symptoms ever really.
Oh, it was a relapse of his mental symptoms.
I think he was just faking it.
Well, and the therapist told him, don't push it too hard.
Right.
Because that's what would happen.
Oh, yeah, I see. Faking his rebound is what you're saying.
Because she said if you push yourself too hard, that he would go back even worse than ever.
It's a vacuum cleaner job.
We're all like hearing this vacuum.
And that's what ended up happening. Because he was worse than he ever was when he tore that house apart.
He tore his house apart.
So what do we think happened there? Do you think he's gone or no?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, he wasn't in Breaking Bad, so.
No, I'd love to see him come back for more.
At least one more season.
He,
but
he is gone.
He kicked that lantern over, so I don't know. They made it look like he burned himself up in the house, so.
And he told Jimmy off pretty good, too.
And that was sad.
That was horrible.
Yeah. That was so sad. But anyway, that's it. Better Call Saul, it was like one of the best shows on TV.
Saul, for real.
Tim, we're so sorry for spoiling it for you.
No, I don't care. I don't remember any of this.
You gotta watch it.
You gotta watch it.
I'll watch it someday.
I mean, you will love it so much. I really think Kayla would like this show.
She might.
If you like Breaking Bad, I don't know how you cannot love
She would really like the show. Because it's not super dark. I mean, it's just such a... I really think she'd like it.
All right. I will see if she'll watch it with me.
Troy, Mac Parker. Ever hear of Planet of the Apes?
The movie or the planet?
The brand new multi-million-dollar musical. And you are starring...
Goldblum.
...as the human.
It's the part I was born to play, baby.
So I saw Planet of the Apes today.
Dr. Zaius, Dr. Zaius.
Oh.
Dr. Zaius, Dr.
There's a review embargo, so don't review it. Just tell us how it was and tell us everything about it.
All right. So first things first. The Planet of the Apes, they're canon. They're whole world, the sci-fi world in which that those movies and TV shows and cartoons exist, are my favorite of the sci-fi genres. I don't know if it's sci-fi, fantasy, whatever the fuck.
Why is that your thing? You think it just came out at the perfect time?
I think it came out when I was a little kid. Yeah. I liked anything King Kong. I collected all this King Kong shit or Planet of the Apes shit. Star Wars came in, and I, you know, I love Star Wars and Star Trek and all that, but I fucking jones for Planet of the Apes. The first movie in the new canon, the new trilogy, with James Franco and who else in it? Tom Hiddleston. You know who Tom Hiddleston is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course I do.
Brian Cox.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy from Dexter. Why can't I think of his name? Hello, Kyle.
You're talking about his character on Dexter?
Yeah, who do you play on Dexter? Who is the actor? Why can't I think? I'm fucking brain dead today. He's in Flashdance.
John Lithgow.
Kick me in the head.
The Trinity Killer.
Harry and the Hendersons.
The Trinity Killer,
yeah. He's in the first one, and, you know, the premise is James Franco's dad. He's trying to cure Alzheimer's because his dad has Alzheimer's, and then he tries this medicine out on, or tries this chemical out on the ape. The ape gets smart. The chemical also makes humans fucking die. Simian flu. Also, there's lots of Easter eggs in the first movie. You know, where they show the rocket going up into space, and then it's lost. Then you fast forward to the second movie. The apes are just trying to live in peace in the woods, and these humans come by, and blah, 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 and they fight, and Gary Oldman is in it. That one's really good, too. This one, you're going to, you know, the main guy, of course, is Andy Serkis, who's playing Caesar.
Who is that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, this, okay. Yeah.
Gollum.
Right, that guy. Yeah.
King Kong.
Yeah.
And Woody Harrelson plays this, obviously inspired by
Colonel
Kurtz, Marlon Brando type guy. And so they're... The movie, all right, I saw it with English Nick, and he had a good joke. He said, they should have called it One Piece of the Apes.
A little long, huh?
It was a little bit too long, just a little bit, maybe by half an hour.
That's a good chunk.
But the scenery, you know, you don't see the real print. You see a digital projection from a computer because you can see the mouse and everything. So the screener, you didn't get to see all the color and the vibrance and all that stuff, but... The movie, if you like Planet of the Apes, you're not going to be upset.
Okay.
So, and if you're following the new series of Planet of the Apes movies, you're not going to be upset. Now, I don't know what it'll lead to, if anything. I guess the next step would be fast-forwarding a whole bunch of years, you know, and doing the Planet of the Apes movie again from the book and all that stuff. This was War for the Planet. A reboot of the Charlton Heston ones.
Right.
Not that awful Mark Wahlberg one, which, by the way, I still enjoy because it's a Planet of the Apes movie.
The old Giamatti.
Yeah, Giamatti was great. It's the shifty Jewish orangutan.
That ruined him for doing any sort of makeup.
Why? He didn't like it?
Yeah. He said he'll never do anything like that again.
I mean, that's a lot of makeup.
He hated it, yeah.
Now, fortunately for these actors, all the apes are digital.
Right.
So you have to put
Why
that.
Do we have to swing from the trees all the time?
There's
just
some,
walk.
Exactly. There's comic relief in it. It's Woody Harrelson. There's weapons. There's apes. And there's war. And that's all I'm going to say about it because I can't give it a full review.
Is there a porno called Planet of the Rapes?
No, but there should be.
Yeah.
Planet of the Rapes. What the fuck's wrong with you? Hi, we're here. Ah! We come in peace. Good for you. You're going to get raped.
Put your hands on me, you damn dirty ape.
You're some
rapist.
Damn dirty rape.
You raped everybody.
You maniacs. You raped it up.
You raped it up.
God, rape you all to hell.
Bright eyes.
Oh, God.
Now they're giving all the big roles to family men.
There's some.
You got to have a kid.
There's also some Easter eggs.
Let's talk names.
To the original movies.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so you do get a little of that.
Yeah, I mean, to the original movie with Charlton Heston, there's Easter eggs for that.
I saw, can I tell you real quick?
Go ahead.
I saw, because I was going to go see.
It comes in your butt at night.
Oh, my God. Well, listen, you know, I the kid's back in town. He's home from college. So we were going to go see the Tupac movie. We're so jazzed about it. Been for months. And then the reviews came out and they were horrid, absolutely horrible. And
All Eyes on Me.
Oh, God. They got like 20% of Rotten Tomatoes. Like 50 Cent was like, watch this shit on the fire stick at the house. I mean, this is bad. This is a bad, horrible movie. He said, they're looking. He said, I'm not even kidding you. They got a freaking iPhone 7 in one of the scenes. I mean, it's that bad. So anyway, so we looked up and saw It Comes at Night had good reviews, right? Really good reviews. Mm-hmm. The critic score was like 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. They should call this movie Nothing Happens at Night because nothing fucking happened. We sat there through the whole thing. I'm telling you, man, it was the most frustrating. It was so frustrating. And it had Joel Edgerton, who is a fantastic actor. I mean, all of the people in the movie were really good performances, but nothing ever happened. Shit would occur, and then they'd never explain it. And then when it ended, I swear my hand to God, when the movie ended, you heard at least four or five people in the Phipps Theater go, what the fuck was that? What the fuck just happened?
Well, we saw Planet of the Apes, War for the Planet of the Apes, with a bunch of movie critics. And I can't spoil it, but I will say that they weren't displeased. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was the end of it. And I don't know what's going on at Phipps, but I love normally seeing a movie at Phipps because, you know, they got the red recliners. And
right.
Blah, blah, blah. The whole place smelled like a dirty foot. The whole place. I don't know what's going on there, but they need to.
People are disgusting.
It stank to high heavens.
Speaking of dirty feet. What? Speaking of dirty feet. Come on now.
Is that Shaq?
Oh, that's
no, it's me. I have dirty feet. I can't afford shoes. It's not fair. They pay me a penny a month.
They don't sweep up underneath that red box.
Spray all your glass shoe and pennies.
I fucking smoke that. You're high on it.
Yeah, you smoke.
I huff it.
You huff it?
I huff bowling shoe spray.
Disinfectant.
Oh, it's the best. Have you ever tried it? Don't laugh.
Is that why your voice sounds like that now?
My voice sounds like this because I damaged it sucking a demon's cock.
Aye!
Were you on the Your Pretty Face set too?
No. It's a real demon. He just showed up and he had spikes on the tip of it.
Oh my God.
Is that why the box is red?
He said, when in Rome.
You better be careful. That's going to be in an episode.
Blood from my I'm a dry guy just like Tim.
Be careful. He does not like it when you call him dry guy.
No, he doesn't care, really. So, Stephanie, what's new in Redbox?
Well, I should be asking you what's new in Redbox. I went by there this past weekend, and I was looking for, I noticed, and it was out, of course, was John Wick 2.
Oh.
And I had wondered if it was as good as John Wick 1. I didn't know what this one could possibly be about.
Well, we'll tell you right now what it's about. The story picks up 20 years later as a 60-year-old candle maker named John Wick is released from jail after serving hard time for improper sexual contact with a beehive. Things are looking good for John, even though a condition of his parole is that he not come within 100 yards of a beehive. Fact of the matter, he can't not come within 100 yards of a beehive. He will overcome his stinging demons, and he will finally get to make it with the queen. Rent John Wick 2... And you'll find out. Rated R.
Oh, that sounds good.
Featuring Odin.
Odin.
Odin's in that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, what about Fist Fight?
It's the first no-holds-barred knockout drag-down action hit of 2017. Grab a can of Crisco and a copy of Fist Fight. 200 of the Barriest Bears in all of Gaydom. Compete for the loosest seat. Rings, wristwatches, and studded armbands are permitted. Don't be a tight ass. Rent Fist Fight today. Rated R.
Are you talking about, is this like fists in the butt?
Oh, it's fisting fight.
Oh, fisting fight.
Fist fight.
Oh.
Fight.
Fist. All right. Well, what about, and my mom was really wanting to see this. What about 50 Shades Darker?
50 Shades Darker. Roland of Gilead and the Horn of Eld, also known as his mid-world member, forged a new chapter in the saga of the Dark Tower, starring Idris Elba, Chris Rock, and introducing Didachum Didacho. Rated R.
I think that's Chetimawalia Elgabo.
Nope.
I think you're wrong.
Didachum Didacho.
I like Idris Elba.
He's from Kenya.
So, okay, well, I think that I'm going to go with John Wick 2 out of all the three.
You want to watch a man fuck a beehive?
I do, other than somebody getting fisted or,
I read in the newspaper the other day that ladies are putting hornet's nests in their vaginas.
Was that makes sense.
Is that Amber Rose that's
doing
it?
To tighten them up. Is Amber Rose that white black lady?
She is. She's got a bush.
Yes.
She's
big
been,
bush.
Yeah, she's been showing it all over Instagram.
Her head's bald, but her pussy's just fucking covered in hair.
She's got more hair in her crotch than she does on her head.
It's like Vietnam down there.
It does look
this
sweaty.
Is the end. My only friend.
Cut through with
that's
a machete.
That's where Jim Morrison is buried down there.
Somebody spray painted it green. That's it for the Red Box Show. Bye.
All right, see ya. Good talking to you.
Yeah, he's fucking filthy.
That guy's a perv.
He didn't like gay people,
he
apparently.
He scares me.
Or he's frightened of gay people.
I didn't know that he was, like, blowing demons and stuff. I mean,
I didn't either.
He's, like, in the
how am I?
Cult.
What do I know? Do I talk to him?
I hope not. Jeez.
You don't know what it takes.
Get sucked into his dark savagery.
You don't know what it takes to get one of those jabs inside one of those red boxes.
Well, now I do. It sounds like he should try out for your pretty face.
What are you talking about? Your pretty face is getting a big wad of jizz on it.
Guess what?
What?
Guess what?
What?
It's 1984.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's the only song on this album I fast forward, actually.
What is it? I'll Wait?
No, it's the intro.
Oh. Of course, this is Van Halen's 1984 album. And I'm going to fade it out so we don't get sued.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it.
No.
Is that a Moog?
I don't know. Eddie was getting really high at the time.
Yeah, man. Someday I'll lose my tongue. Guitar.
No! Baby, just how you feel.
Hey, you. Who said that?
Hey, you. Roll, roll with the punches to get to what's real.
My top Jimmy.
I am. The whole album's one track on YouTube, so I'm just going to fade it. I don't know where Top Jimmy is. Top My Jimmy with his mouth. All right, 1984. How old were you, Ira?
I was 11.
11. Stephanie?
I was 11.
Jeffrey?
Oh, yeah, we're the same age.
I don't know.
15? Haha, you're old. I was 14. 13 through most of it, and then November I became 14. So this year is right up my alley.
It's a perfect age for comedy movies.
We did 1982 a while ago, I guess just movies, but we're gonna quickly go through all the big shit that we all enjoyed from 1984.
You always go like, right. It's amazing that all this shit is the same year.
Well, movies. 1984 is the fucking bomb for movies.
I
it
know.
Is the year for all these great movies. Let's start with movies. How about that, huh?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, now, Jeff got this from, or somebody did.
It was Jeffrey.
From IMDb, and they say these are the most popular films released between January 1st and December 31st of 1984. Number one being Ghostbusters.
Oh, of course.
Saw it in the theater.
Yeah, I didn't.
I did.
I saw it on HBO.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater.
Oh, you guys had money.
I mean, that was a crazy. You know, when the Pillsbury Doughboy comes up at the end.
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, the whole
the
movie.
The marshmallow.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow.
Stay Puffed Marshmallow.
What did I say? Pillsbury Doughboy. Stay Puffed Marshmallow. I mean, the whole movie was great and crazy as it is, but when that happens at the end, it's like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this.
That was insane.
Clear your mind of all thought.
Is it Ivan Reitman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we had no money. My stepdad was laid off from the steel mill at the time, as a matter of fact.
The steel mill?
Yes.
That's a Springsteen song.
He was doing side jobs as a mechanic, but he still took me to see Ghostbusters.
Wow.
I mean, because what the fuck else were we going
to
do?
My dad would take me to the movies. They took me to see Wrath of Khan, but that's 82. All right. So we all like Ghostbusters, of course. We can quote it. How about The Karate Kid?
Oh, yes.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about the new one with Jackie Chan.
No.
That nobody saw.
Sweep the leg.
Yeah. The Karate Kid is one of my favorite movies from that year. Now, these are movies that when they were on HBO.
I did not see Karate Kid in the theater. I saw it on HBO.
I didn't see it in theater.
I would be doing yard work. Now, we're probably talking about the summer after that. So, it was probably the summer of 1985. And I think in the summer of 1985, I watched a couple of these movies every single day. I think we watched. Well, I'll get to them and I'll tell you what they are. Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh,
God, yes.
Yeah,
saw that in the theater. Freaked me out with the face melting.
Right. But it doesn't hold up, you know. Now, like years later, I'll still watch Raiders.
Yeah,
but Temple of Doom is.
I never liked Temple of Doom. I like Raiders of the Lost Ark, and I don't like any of the sequels.
Yeah, I have to say the same thing.
Footloose.
Oh, Temple of Doom.
Oh, 100 million times.
Footloose had the best soundtrack too.
Oh, for sure. And the whole you know, in the whole scene that's been parodied a million times, the never, 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 whenever he does that whole thing in the Andy Samberg, when he does that in Hot Rod, that is the funniest shit. It makes me cry every single time.
And I'm going to skip over some of these. You can find all the Google, the top movies from 1984. Dune. I never got into Dune.
No, you know, I wanted to get into Dune, though, because I'm a big Lynch fan. And
Sting.
I will kill him, Sting.
What is the problem with Dune? It's just doesn't...
Too long.
It's a lot of sand.
It's too long and too boring.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been cool, though, right?
The book's better.
Yeah. Well, didn't they do like a... They released like a director's cut when it was like 90 hours long.
Yeah,
right?
I don't know. Yeah.
They talk about sand in the book? A lot of sand?
I don't like sand. It gets everywhere. What's that from?
I don't know.
That's from...
The Thing. The
Attack of the Clones.
No.
Sand gets everywhere.
I don't watch it. I hate Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, The Terminator, we've already talked about that endlessly. Nightmare on Elm Street came out.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp, Heather Langenkamp.
Johnny Depp one.
Robert Englund.
My grandmother lived on Elm Street.
Oh, God. That would scare the shit out of me.
It did scare the shit out of us.
Did you spend the night at her house?
I did.
Did you fall asleep?
It's very scary. No. Well, my aunt, she was a teenager.
Wake up, fuckhead.
She was a teenager. She was like in high school when the movie came out.
So she wasn't part of the group of parents that murdered Freddy
she
Krueger.
She wasn't. Not in Taylor, Michigan. No, she wasn't. But my aunt, she went to the movies to see it. And she was horrified, terrified for weeks over that damn movie.
The best of the Nightmare on the Elm Streets for sure is the first one.
Oh, without a doubt. It never got any better.
No.
But there's still that. I still like Dream Warriors.
But this one is an actual legit film.
Scary.
It's scary.
And we got to see Johnny Depp for the first time.
Right.
And yeah.
What were you going to say, Ira?
I was just going to say that was one of those movies that I didn't see for a while, but all the kids at school were like, it's the scariest thing I've ever seen. But I was freaking out over it.
I dressed up like Freddy Krueger for Halloween, and I put metal glove. I took the metal part of steak knives out and put them through my gloves. And I wore it. I made it half the day. And the principal said, put that in your locker.
Oh, wow. You had, like, real knives?
Yeah, steak knives.
Yeah, I mean, back then,
could you imagine
say,
doing
stop
that?
Fucking around.
Could you imagine trying to go into school with that thing now?
Oh, no. Yeah, you'd be in therapy the rest of your life.
Well, no. They would actually send the kid to jail.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, my principal just said, put those in your locker. And I took them home.
Try not to cut anybody,
hey,
kid.
Hey, Andrews, put those steak knives in your locker and get back to class.
And I got in trouble for ruining my mother's steak knives. I think I said something like, you never cook anything. 16 Candles. That's one of the movies I watched over and over.
Yeah, I love 16 Candles.
John Hughes, directed by Molly Ringwald, Anthony Michael Hall, Justin Henry.
John Cusack.
The Donger.
Oh. And I was obsessed with Michael Schauffele.
Oh, I bet you were. All the women loved him.
Mm-mm-mm.
Is that Jake Ryan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he only did that and then he like became a carpenter after that movie.
Well, he was in Mermaids.
Okay.
Here's a movie that I didn't get into until much later, Amadeus. F. Murray Abraham, Tom Hultz.
It's a great movie.
It's a what?
It's a great movie.
I thought you said it was a gay movie.
No, it's great.
It's a fantastic film.
I liked him better as the brother Larry in Parenthood.
Oh, the one who always needed money?
Yeah. Yeah.
I like him better as the mentally disabled guy in that Ray Liotta movie set in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
Where they're garbage men. Anyway.
Mm.
I don't know what Tom Hultz is doing. He hasn't been in anything since 2008.
I don't know. Maybe he's dead.
No, he's not dead.
Dude, rock me on my dais.
Ooh, rock me. It's from the movie. Revenge of the Nerds. There's another one I watched a million fucking times.
Nerds.
Yeah. Listen to this cast. Robert Carradine, Anthony Edwards, Timothy Busfeld.
Bugger.
Curtis Armstrong.
Robert Carradine, that is sad what has happened to him.
Why?
He's a mess.
Oh, is he fat or something?
No, dude, he's
he
crazy.
He got all messed up from that car crash.
Oh.
He never did get over his brother, them finding him all diddled himself in that closet.
That's terrible.
And he tried to kill his whole family.
I didn't know
was
that.
Is that why he went crazy? I thought he was crazy before.
No, he never did get over him. He drove his whole family into a semi-truck.
Yeah.
Drove
shit.
Them straight into it. He's lucky they all lived. The wife is divorcing him now, and she's still terrified for him. She's been trying to get him help. She said he's got all kinds of guns and shit. He's going to end up killing himself, she says. It's very sad.
I didn't know that. When did you know about this story?
This is just very recent that it all has come out. Because she's divorcing him now, and she's been begging for somebody to help him because she still loves him, but she can't be with him anymore because he tried to kill them all, basically.
No doubt.
You should see the car.
Oh, Stripes.
No.
Oh, wait.
I've seen this movie more than probably any other movie on this list. You don't know what it is yet?
No, I do, but it's killing me.
You know it, Jeff?
I'm not in this one yet.
Police Academy.
Oh, yes. Police Academy, right. Tackleberry?
Sure are an awful lot of spades around here.
Which is a good thing.
Which I think is good for the Academy. I love that. Bubba Smith beats the shit out of it. No one says that anymore, thank
you. Gremlins, too. You passed over Gremlins.
High Town, no.
I did pass over Gremlins.
Oh, my God. 1984. Jeez.
1984.
The movie. 1984.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
This is Spinal Tap.
Oh, yes. Another Michael McKean.
People still watching and quoting. Red Dawn.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
The original.
Don't cry.
I was Swayze crazy back then.
Avenge me. Supergirl. Horrible movie.
Oh, jeez. That was awful. Helen Slater.
Mm-hmm. The Natural. Great movie. Fantastic movie.
I didn't appreciate it at the time. I was too young.
Yeah, you do appreciate it when you get older. Beverly Hills Cop. For Christ's sake, this list.
That one I saw at the movies, for
1984 has to be the best years for the Gen Xers.
I wasn't allowed to see that in the theater. Bad language.
I got it for Christmas, though.
It was a law, because it was filmed in Detroit. Everybody saw it, even if you were like just born.
Don't fuck with me, Axel. Not now. Is that fucking Foley in here?
With a little lemon twist.
I make it in the back with a little lemon twist.
Lemon.
Victor Maitland. All right, Children of the Corn. I never liked that movie.
I've never seen Children of the Corn.
Malachi.
I hear people talk about it all the time.
Really?
I've never seen it.
It's not good.
Oh, stop it.
Romancing the Stone.
Oh, I love that movie.
I saw that in the
theater. I love that movie.
Oh, the Doobie Brothers broke up.
When did that happen?
Goddamn Bushmaster. Is it poisonous? Very, but very tasty.
Put another key on the fire.
Let's see. Body Double.
Oh, I remember that movie. That was a good movie.
I used to beat off to that movie when my mom was at work.
Yeah, me too.
Get out of
here. Really?
You like Melanie Griffith?
No, the guy.
Okay. The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai in the Eighth Dimension.
John Lithgow.
Yes. Mm.
That doesn't hold
Peter
up.
Weller, it does not at all.
They were going to try and reboot it. Kevin Smith was going to do a TV show, but he couldn't get the rights.
Buckaroo Banzai?
Yeah.
Let's see. Here's one of Jeff's favorite movies, The Last Starfighter.
Yeah, I like that movie.
I don't think I ever saw it.
Yeah, that was a good movie where he plays the video game at the beginning and then he gets, yeah.
Let's see. Streets of Fire. Whatever.
A Young Diane Lane. A gorgeous Michael Parr.
I do like Diane
A good
Lane.
Soundtrack.
Splash.
Oh, my God. That was one of my favorites.
Well, John Candy, too.
John Candy, Daryl Hannah.
Anybody here from Penthouse Magazine?
Tom Hanks. You wouldn't want me to do that. 2010. Yeah, all right. Speaking of John Lithgow, Helen Mirren plays a Russian woman. There's Roy Scheider. And it's okay.
I didn't get it because at the time, I was just too young for that.
Yeah, it's too much.
I never saw
the book.
I never saw
better.
2001.
The Bounty. You ever see that? Mel Gibson, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, sure. It's a ship.
HMS Bounty.
Yeah.
Bachelor Party.
Oh, of course.
Another great
a
film.
Gajillion
Adrian
times.
Zemed.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
I killed a mule. This being milked?
Yeah, this being milked. Nick. Should we call you
Nick or
Nick
Mr. Dick?
Mr. Dick.
Nick.
Adrian Zemed.
Is that a foot long? And then some. Yeah, Adrian Zemed.
I had such a crush on him. He took over on Dance Fever after Denny Terrio left.
He's going to be on the Battle of the Network Stars. That's the new one that's coming out.
Are they redoing that?
Yeah.
ABC?
Yep.
How old is Zemed?
Zemed's got to be like 60
I didn't recognize
60-something.
Anybody in the commercial.
That's breaking news. I didn't know they were redoing that.
Yeah, they're redoing it. Starts this summer.
Blame It on Rio. That had good plausibility.
Yeah, yep. That Michael Caine.
Whenever Michael Caine was naked. Go ahead. Take your pants off from the master bite.
Pause it. Look at this.
Let's skip a couple of these. Star Trek III, The Search for Spock. Not one of the better ones. Not bad, but not one of the better ones. Dreamscape is the first movie I ever saw in the movie theater with Jeff.
That was a great movie.
Yep.
Aw.
Bum Ticker.
Who was that guy? Whatever happened to him?
He was on Twin Peaks. He's on the new Twin Peaks. Uh-huh. Yeah. He's also Sully in Commando. Sully.
Oh, okay.
She must have had a bum ticker. I think it was the first PG-13 film as well. Blood Simple, I never saw it until much later, but that's one
too.
Of my favorite film noirs.
Wow, that was that old.
Got the Coen brothers.
It's a great movie.
Francis McDormand, Dan Hedaya, M. Emmett Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
Against All Odds.
I loved that movie.
I liked it then, but it's terrible.
I had
Try
such
watching
a
it now.
Huge crush on Jeff
song.
Bridges.
I liked Rachel Ward, and I liked
Jeff
that song.
Jeff Bridges was in a much better movie. In
oh, and James Woods. He was a great villain in that.
Yes, he was in a much better movie. Yes, he was. James, he was terrible in that movie. I mean, a dick. Mm-hmm. Starman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Another great Jeff Bridges
that
movie.
That is a fantastic movie.
I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. And that was a good series when it was on TV for, what, like two seasons. I liked it.
It's one of the last movies with Charles Martin Smith. Well, no, he was in a couple more movies. You know who that was? The dopey guy from American Graffiti with the glasses.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
I lost my ID, too, but it wasn't in a flood. Breaking Two, Electric Boogaloo.
Oh, wow.
I know you don't like those movies.
Definitely saw
I
that.
I don't. Cannonball Run 2.
Yeah, that was crap.
I mean, it's Cannonball Run, but it's not as good as the first.
The one with the elephant? Oh, that was Smokey
no,
the
Smokey
Bandit.
The Bandit. They're remaking Cannonball Run, by the way, which will be fucking horrible.
That should not happen.
Toxic Avenger.
Oh, such a classic.
And winding up our little list here for IMDb is The Woman in Red, which is a great movie.
Kelly LeBrock.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Wilder.
Charles Grodin.
I mean, that's the other movie that Kelly LeBrock is in.
Yes.
Right.
You're thinking of the other one with...
There's Weird Science, and then there's that.
Oh, and there's Hard Target.
Oh,
yeah. I got that. She gave me a hard target. let's see. Let's talk about some of these songs. I'll bust through this list real quick.
84 songs?
84 songs.
Dude, just do like the top 10 of 84.
All right, the top 10 of 1984. These are the top 10 biggest songs of the year.
Do it as Casey Kasem, though.
Yeah.
The top 10 songs of 1984. At the top of the list is a band with a gender bender lead singer and a bunch of homosexuals that he lied to fuck. It's the Culture Club and Karma Chameleon. That was the Culture Club with Karma Chameleon. Up next, a song from a movie. The guy who wrote it was sued by Huey Lewis. Here's Ray Parker Jr. and Ghostbusters. Right.
Good for Huey.
That was Ray Parker Jr., and all the credit from that song goes to Huey Lewis.
H. Lewis, LLC.
When sometimes people say no, they really mean yes. Here's Owner of a Lonely Heart, coming in at number 8. If you have his phone number when you're on vacation, you can call him at his hotel, and when he answers the phone, you can just say, hello. Here's Lionel Richie's number 7 song of 1984, Hello. Remember the video where the blind lady made that really ugly sculpture of his head? At number 7, I'm sorry, at number 6, here's something I can't do anymore. Jump by Van Halen. Will I come back to life? It's against all odds. Take a look at me now, Phil Collins at number 5. Why did I fall down those steps? Was it my hip? No, I had a foot loose. Here's Kenny Loggins with the title track.
Holy shit.
Here's one of the worst songs to ever make it into the top 5. Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson, Say, Say, Say. At number 2, her husband used to beat the shit out of her. It's Tina Turner, What's Love Got to Do with It? And the number 1 song of 1984, this performer died almost 2 years ago. Or maybe it was, I don't remember. This song is about birds and sadness. And when they decide to do this, it'll make you weep. It's the title track from the movie Purple Rain. Which is what happened when you get into golden showers with Grimace. It's Prince and When Doves Cry.
Yay.
Good night, everybody.
And now, on with the countdown. Islands in the Stream. That's where you stand while Grimace gives you a purple shower.
Oh, Casey. You need to come on every week.
I love
week.
The new Casey.
I love you, Casey.
Reanimated Casey Kasem?
I think Casey should give us the top 10 of even current days music. Like
well, you'll
every
have to
week.
Find that for him because he don't know jack shit.
I will gladly get Casey the list every week.
All right. We got TV shows that debuted in 1984. Night Court. I love that show.
Oh, yeah.
Kate and Allie.
Yeah. Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Muppet Babies, I didn't like. ER. You mean the one, the original ER?
Yeah.
Who was in that? It was a sitcom.
No, I think it's the, I didn't look it up, but it.
It is not the
no.
show.
No. ER, that was a 90s.
It was
the
a sitcom.
Trapper John one?
No.
The one with the guy from Trapper John?
That was
John.
Called House Calls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
ER, if you can Google it, George Clooney was in it.
Yeah, and that was in the 90s.
Yeah. No, it was in the 80s, 1984. But then the other ER, he was in both of them.
What?
Yes.
It's like Twin Peaks.
Coming in at number five, shut the fuck up. What's that?
Sitcom CBS.
Yeah, and wasn't he on that show?
Let's see.
I think he was.
Elliot Gould.
I do remember that.
I don't see George Clooney.
He was on it. I know he was, because it's a trivia question. All right, Punky Brewster.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Punky.
Punky.
Oh, George Henry. Clooney.
George Clooney was on that. Played Mark Ace Colmer.
Yeah, and then he went on to Facts of Life.
Yeah, on the regular ER, too.
Didn't Punky end because Soleil's moon fries got so huge that they had to shut the whole show down because her boobs were humongous?
No, she got tits when she was six.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, they were just huge, and they had to, like, even her little jean jacket couldn't cover them up. It's creepy, and they had to shut the show down.
Was that really the reason?
I think so, yeah. Like, her boobs were humongous.
Hunter.
Oh, hell yeah.
I dug Hunter.
Hunter was awesome.
Highway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah. Highway to Heaven used to make me cry.
When I did watch it, I got all, like, oh, man.
Yeah, it really got to me. Michael Landon.
Pa.
Like my mom said, don't watch that goyish stuff.
She did not. Did she really? Did she?
I don't know. Like, I just never watched it for some reason.
She's like, heaven is a lie, Ira.
It's your move?
It's for the goyim.
It's Your Move was a good show.
Great show.
Yeah, it was. For the whole season it was on.
Right. Miami Vice.
Oh, that was my jam.
Tales from the Dark Side? What was that?
Tales from the Dark Side.
And,
you remember how it opened up and it was like, Tales.
Oh, with the Crypt Keeper?
No, Tales from the Dark Side. It would show like the road with the trees and it would turn all creepy.
Yeah. Murder, She Wrote.
Yeah.
Mm.
Charles in Charge.
Yeah. Of Our Days and Our Nights.
Angela.
Wrong show.
Oh, yeah.
You know what show that is?
Who's the boss?
Mm-hmm.
Charles in Charge, I was close, though.
You were. He was a manservant.
It's kind of, he was a manny.
What year was Who's the Boss? It's got to be around the same time.
Shortly thereafter.
Okay.
Samantha, I can't believe you got some tits. V debuted.
Oh, that's so good.
Miniseries 1, miniseries 2, and then the series came out in 85, which sucked.
Yeah, the series was terrible.
Shows that ended in 1985. 84. That's Incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that all the time.
Fran Tarkenton.
Mm-hmm.
And John Davidson. And Kathy Lee Crosby.
I always thought she was so pretty.
I liked her.
I did too. Happy Days, which was a shell of its original.
It should have ended like 4 years before that.
Well, it should have left when, you know,
Richie left.
Fantasy Island. Wow. So when Mr. Belvedere replaced Tattoo.
No, did he really?
Yeah, the last season.
Brocktoon replaced him?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Really?
One Day at a Time. Real People. I liked Real People.
I liked
it. Yeah. Incredible. Cool.
Three's Company, didn't that become...
Three's a Crowd.
Yeah.
And then the Ropers. Or was the Ropers had already spun off?
This should be in a category, shows that started and ended in 1984. After MASH. Captain Kangaroo went off the air in 1984. Born in 1984. ScarJo.
Oh, really?
Kate McKinnon.
Really? Wow, that's so weird.
Aubrey Plaza. Olivia Wilde. Zach Woods. Katy Perry. Avril Lavigne, La Vagine. People who died in 1984. Andy Kaufman.
Who died?
Who died?
Jackie Coogan.
Andy Kaufman is not dead. Everybody knows that.
Yes, he's dead. Jackie Coogan, you know who he was, right?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, who is Jackie Coogan? Oh, wait, didn't he play, he was a little rascal, wasn't he?
He was, but he also played Perry in
Perry White.
Perry White. Superman movies, yeah. John Eric Hexum.
Oh, that was sad. Voyagers.
Yeah, he
killed
himself.
Accidentally shot himself, yeah.
Marvin Gaye. He didn't shoot himself.
His dad shot him.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I was in fourth grade in Detroit, and I remember my teacher, Mrs. Lawson, she cried all day. I had no idea who Marvin Gaye was. Yeah. She fucking cried all day long. It was like a big deal.
I know.
Sure.
Yeah.
His fucking stupid dad killed him. Ed Gein. Do you know Ed Gein?
Yeah, the old skin master.
Yeah.
Human Capote.
And also, James Mason passed away in 1984. Mm-hmm. I do remember this insidious Lolita tempting me with her partially pube-covered vagine and her rosebud nipples just bursting through her tank top. But I had to have sex with Shelley Winters. Do you even know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, Lolita.
Being followed all over the country by Peter Sellers, the annoying reporter. I had him killed.
I liked the remake, actually.
The one with...
Jeremy Irons.
Yeah, that was pretty
good. It was good. And it was Frank Langella was the Peter Sellers.
That's right. But you can't top Peter Sellers.
It's not difficult to do, James Mason.
Whenever I think about Marvin Gaye being dead, I think about that Stephen Banks home entertainment special. You ever see that?
No.
You should watch it. It's on Amazon now.
What is it?
It's an old comedy special. It's kind of like Pee-wee's Playhouse kind of thing. It's like a one-man show. And he stays home from work, and he has to get this work done from home. But he has, like, ADD, and he just, like, can't pay attention to one thing for very long and just goes going off on all this other stuff. But he plays all these instruments, and he does all a totally amazing show.
Okay.
And it's on Amazon now. Check it out. But he sings this song about all these rock stars that died, and it says, like, Marvin Gaye died at 44. His father shot him dead on the floor.
Ooh.
Oh, that's harsh.
So remember, if you beat up your dad, do a good job, then run out the door.
That's terrible.
Holy shit.
I was going to say, though, real quick, I heard you sticking up for us the other day. Eric was breaking our balls about how we don't talk about Twin Peaks on this show, and you were like, well, we talk about entertaining shows on this show.
We kind of, I mean, that wasn't really that much of a diss to the show, because I enjoy it, but we can't sit and talk about the fucking Twin Peaks.
First of all, these two aren't watching it.
Eric does for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, I know. I look at my phone when he does that shit.
He needs to do his own Twin Peaks podcast. Just do one on Twin Peaks.
Right.
I'd like to watch it. I can't fit it in. Can't fit anything.
All right. You guys ready for staff picks? I'm ready to wrap this shit up.
Sure I do.
I haven't seen my wife all day. I would like to get home. The Mist, which debuts this evening as we're recording this on a Wednesday tonight.
I'm excited about
that.
Turn
my DVR.
On Spike. And as we know, networks can do whatever the fuck they want. Now, I believe this is a reimagining of the original story, the book.
It got a not-so-good review, but uh-oh. I'm still going to give it a chance.
But I saw good reviews and I've seen bad reviews, so right. I'm still going to watch it. I'll give it a shot if it sucks. It can't be any worse than Under the Dome.
under the Dome.
Oh, yeah, Under the...
Under the Dome.
All right, so that's mine.
Okay. Wow. Great plug.
Thanks.
Definitely going to watch it.
Speaking of Stephen King, before we go forward, somebody put some news articles up there, and I guess the Dark Tower is a sequel to the book.
Right.
Which everybody figured. Anyway.
Nobody knew for sure, though.
Are you happy about that or what?
I don't give a shit.
You don't?
No.
You don't, as in you don't care about it or you don't care what they do?
No, I don't care what they do. I'm still going to see the movie.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
All right, good.
My staff pick is Glow, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
I'm excited about this.
Starts
I can't wait to see it.
June 23rd on Netflix.
And Maron's in that, right?
Isn't he? Mark Maron, yeah. Allison Brie.
Mm. It looks like it's going to be good, though, because it's like 30-minute episodes. It's a comedy.
Right.
Cool.
Yeah, I saw like one of the episodes. They're trying to get one of the wrestlers to be called Welfare Mama. And she's like, fuck you, I don't want to be called Welfare Mama. So, I mean, it seems like it's going to be very funny.
I watched Glow when it was on back in the day.
I did too.
I never watched it.
Wasn't it on Channel 11?
Yeah, it came on late, like Saturday
nights
or Friday nights.
It was a syndicated show.
Right.
I don't remember, though.
They each did like a rap before they did their thing, and The Farmer's Daughter and all that stuff. But it's not going to be that. It's going to be different or
the
whatever.
The behind-the-scenes stuff.
But I think it's going to be good.
Cool.
My pick is it's on Amazon Prime. I'm so sickly into this show, you guys. I'm fucking addicted to it.
Fartitude?
It's called.
I'd watch that.
I would too.
I'm not kidding you guys. This is like the best show I've watched, and I don't even know how long.
I've seen it listed on there, and I'm like, I should probably check this out.
Okay,
yeah, it's good,
so if you ever watched Broadchurch, if you're a fan of Broadchurch.
I did like that show.
Okay, so you like Broadchurch?
I did.
Do you like The Thing?
I do.
Okay, put those together. Have some sexy baby, and it's called Fortitude.
Okay. Yeah.
This show is so fucking cool.
Stanley Tucci, you can't go wrong with him.
Oh, the Tooch. He's so good in this, man. I mean, every single scene, he just owns it. Every person on the show is an amazing actor. You got
Dennis Quaid?
He's in season two. I haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, so this is the second season.
I'm watching season one right now.
Okay.
I'm in like episode six. This was a show, it was originally done for Sky Atlantic. Commissioned by Sky Atlantic, some network over in...
Yeah, it's BBC.
In the BBC, right. Yeah. So Amazon just bought it, and they just slapped it on here back in April. They put both seasons on there. I guess they're doing season three right now. They're filming it or whatever. But anyway, the first season, what happens is the first scene opens up. Dumbledore, who was, he took over for Richard Harris, mm-hmm. the last six. He plays like a professor, and the first scene opens up, he's on this Arctic thing, and there's the ocean, and you see this, you hear the screaming off in the distance, and he walks up, and you see this guy getting eaten by a polar bear. And then you see this other cop, just this cop is just watching him getting eaten. And then he notices Dumbledore, see him watching him,
right.
And then he's like, oh shit, and he acts like he's going to do something about it, but Dumbledore shoots him and kills the guy, like a mercy kill, because the bear is just disemboweling him.
I'll have to check it out.
So it starts out like that.
Why
but
didn't
then,
he use the Vodra cadaver on him?
Anyway, but anyway. Anyway.
I'm allowed to do that one, Harry.
Anyway, it's just, it's a mystery, it's crazy, and there's all kinds of shit going on. But Fortitude, please watch it. You will absolutely love it.
And that's Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime. I'm so hooked on the show. It's such a mystery. Every single episode, I don't know what the hell is going on. It just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Awesome. The Ira. Further you go, Ira.
Ira's got to do his staff pick of some other competing podcast.
Not competing with us, not this one.
I like his note on here. You're right, Dick.
I looked down like at the end of the day. I was like, hmm. If you like Shark Tank on, what is that on, ABC?
ABC, yeah.
There's a podcast called The Pitch. Basically, Shark Tank in podcast form.
Okay.
But they just do one company every week, and these guys, they tell you, it's done very well. You know, they tell you what these guys are doing, what they're pitching, and then they have four investors, and they go in, and you just hear everything. And then they, I guess they do them a while back because they check in with the guys like mm-hmm. a year later to see what happened and how they're doing and blah, blah, blah.
So cool.
It's from Gimlet Media, and I pitch a lot of their podcasts because everything is good that they do. So, find it at Gimlet Media or find it wherever you do
the
podcast.
They were the Richard Simmons podcast people, right? Weren't they?
Were they? No, I don't think so.
No? I thought they were Gimlet.
They did Startup. They did Homecoming. They did, S-Town.
S-Town, yeah.
Yeah, they did S-Town. Check out that Oh Geez. That Steph got me into.
Yeah. I will hear.
If you watch Fargo, you got it.
Yeah, Oh Geez.
Well, and I went back and listened to all of their episodes from the first two seasons.
And if anybody has season one of Fargo on DVD, send it to me. I'll give it back because it's not on Netflix.
It's so good.
And I'm not paying for it.
Okay. Oh, and RIP Stephen First.
We didn't get to that. Who died?
Who died?
Yeah. I know Stephen First. Jeff does his usual text to let us know who died, and I wrote back, who did I think it was at first? Oh, I thought it was Newman.
Yeah.
And then he told me yesterday, I didn't realize the Prodigy from Mobb Deep died. I was very sad about that. Fuck you.
What did I do?
Do you have a cricket?
What did I do?
He's a rap legend.
I don't know who that is. I'm sorry.
Listen,
I'm not laughing at you.
I know, I've heard of
Mobb
Deep.
One of the greatest albums ever. 1995's The Infamous. It's one of the greatest rap albums ever in the history of time.
All right, let's do it.
He probably choked on an egg, is what they say. He has sickle cell anemia, but it sounds like he choked on an egg when he was in the hospital after he had a concert this past week. And it's very sad. He's only 42.
I have markers in my DNA. I just found out from having my DNA checked for genetic diseases and stuff. I'm a carrier for some disease that mostly gets transferred by Ashkenazi Jews.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so I must have Ashkenazi Jews in my...
Look at us. We're like cousins now.
We are.
What disease is it?
I don't know. Some
you got
fucking...
a little Jew in you?
I might. A little Jewish DNA.
You want some?
You gold brickin' bastard.
Why, is Ira going to fuck
me? Yeah, Ira, come here.
Get over here.
Yes, over here. All right, guys, this has been a fun show. It's Wednesday night. I got to go home. I got to get up at 6 o'clock tomorrow because we're going to be live. This will be, doesn't matter to anybody because, but I'll be on. We're doing filling in for Hermie Cain tomorrow. So shucky ducky.
Cool.
Oh,
can
good.
I plug?
Hang on 1 second, though. This Sunday afternoon, which would be Sunday, which is today, the 22nd, the 26th, Shani B and I will be doing live 1 to 3 on WSB. That is News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. Depend on it.
What are you going to talk about?
We'll try and listen to you from the Smoke a Peach thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll at least listen on the way, depending on what time we go. I'm playing Fat Matt's Saturday night.
Okay.
Fat Matt's Rib Shack. Come see the Vipers.
Right on.
Please, come hang out. We'll stuff ribs in our face together.
Do you have anything to plug?
No.
Jeff?
No, nothing.
All right, guys, until next time, please remember to...
Keep it canon!
Are you wondering how you, the listener, can support Radio Labyrinth? It's very simple. All you need to do is go to patreon.com/Tim Andrews. Sign up at any level, and we will read your name every single week. It doesn't matter if you donate $1 a month or $150,000 a month. I know you're not going to do that, though. Our top Patreon producer this week is Wendy Muller. She is the top of the donators, and we thank you very much. Other producers include Chris Colhard, Mac Kennan, Zach Pittman, JB, Beth Van Elswick, Lou Caniglio, Mike Hall, David C. Funk, Matt Carter, Jonathan Wilson, Eric Malmstrom, Colin Oman, Amber Gilpatrick, Garrett Kemble, Keith Tate, Herb Lamb, and Jose Perales. Thank you to each and every one of you for supporting Radio Labyrinth.
Two Faces Radio.